Let's pray once more as we prepare our hearts for God's word. Father, I ask that you speak to our hearts tonight. Lord, I pray that you would just give me, Lord, what I need to say exactly what you'd have me to. Oh, Father, I pray that you would order my steps, that you would guide me. And Father, I ask you, Lord, that our hearts would just be open and receptive, that we would hear your word as it is, the word of the living God speaking to us, that we might obey you, that we might live it out in our lives. And Lord, we give you the glory and the praise for the fruit of it in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. How we need to pray. Jesus lived such a powerful life, turned the world upside down. I mean, just such a tremendous impact, Jesus' life. My daughter wrote a paper, Jesus, the most influential person in history. They're supposed to write a paper about anyone of their choosing. Could be Hitler. They even mentioned that. Could be Hitler. She wrote about Jesus. She got a C from her Christian teacher, not because of grammatical errors, but because the teacher didn't like it that she wrote about Jesus. She made a rule after that year, you could write about anybody but Jesus. She said that Muhammad was more influential than Jesus, although Leslie cited credible statistics that show there are 2 billion followers of Jesus in the world today, albeit many of them may not be dedicated or committed Christians, but there's 2 billion who claim Christ and only about 1 billion Muslims. And yet, she said, no, Jesus is not the most influential person of history. Jesus is the reason this is the year 2015. Tell me he is not the most influential person. He's the pivotal point of history. 2015, year of our Lord. Before that, it's before Christ. But here's the point I really want to get to. The person who lived the most powerful life ever was a man of prayer. And all of the great miracles and the great signs and wonders and the awesome things that he accomplished, not to mention the saving of our soul. Listen, he accomplished those things because he prayed. And if the Son of God, if God in the flesh, thought it necessary to pray, how is it that we can be so foolish as to think that it's not that big a deal if we don't pray? How could we possibly ever think that we can make it or that we can do what we're supposed to do without prayer? The disciples saw the power of God in Jesus. And so they say, Lord, teach us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Jesus teaches us to pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, or as most of the modern translations say, the evil one. Listen, so that we can be victorious in all of our trials and tribulations, so that we can overcome. He teaches us to pray for God's guidance, for our Father's guidance, and protection. How we need that every day in our life. Unless someone is praying the Lord's Prayer, and most of the time people are praying it out of ritual, I dare say that there are few Christians that actually bother to pray each day for God's deliverance from evil, for His divine guidance to avoid temptation. And I'm telling you, this is to be a daily prayer. Jesus taught us to pray this way. This is our pattern for prayer. How we need the Lord's help to avoid temptation, to avoid destruction and heartache, and to overcome. And in our culture, you know, people like to say, and religious people like to say things like, oh, well, we just don't know. They're a good person. Don't know why bad things happen to good people. Well, I want you to understand, I certainly don't have all the answers. And I'm not saying that if somebody had something bad happen to their life, it's because they deserved it. I want you to hear my heart. What I'm saying, though, is a lot of the time we find ourselves in destruction and heartache because we didn't think it was important enough to ask God for His help to keep us out of that mess or to deliver us from evil. Listen, something happens when you pray that doesn't happen when you don't pray. It's part of the trick of the enemy is to tell us that prayer doesn't really matter, that it's not really that big a deal, but it is a big deal, and when we don't pray, we do suffer for it. There's a result when you pray. There's also a result when we don't pray. And we need to pray this: deliver us from evil. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, I know this verse kind of brings a little confusion to a lot of believers because, well, there's something that's lost in most of our English translations here. We don't really understand it completely. We read, lead us not into temptation, and it just kind of seems to imply that if we don't ask God to not lead us into temptation, then we're going to get led into temptation, like He's going to lead us into temptation. And I want you to know that is not at all what the Scripture is saying. You always have to interpret Scripture in the light of other Scripture. And anytime you think you found a contradiction, you just need to keep studying and learning and growing. And sometimes it takes years before you understand. But there's no contradictions in the Word of God. It is perfect. And it's always right. But I want you to understand this. God does not ever, whether you pray or not, He's not going to lead you into temptation to do evil. God doesn't do that. The Bible says very plainly in James 1:13 that God cannot be tempted by evil, neither does He tempt any man. God doesn't tempt. Now listen, you see, there's two meanings of the word tempt or temptation in the Scripture. One of those is to be tempted to sin. And that's what we're talking about here. Tempted to do evil. God does not tempt anybody to do evil. God does tempt in the sense of test. God does test people. Well, you'll see it in the Scripture. But anyway, you just need to understand there's a difference between being tested and being tempted to do something evil. And whether you pray or not, God never tempts any man. So that's not what this Scripture is saying, that, well, you know, you better pray God won't lead you into or tempt you with evil or lead you into temptation, because if you don't pray, then He'll lead you into temptation. No, you need to understand what this Scripture is really saying is that we're asking our Father to help us to avoid temptation. And well, let me give you a couple of other translations here. Tory translates it as and let us not yield to temptation. Robertson says it's do not allow us to be led into temptation. Phillips translates it as keep us clear of temptation. Some of the old translations, it was or the old theologians, I should say, translated it this way, do not allow us to be led into temptation. But you need to understand that the prayer really is that we're asking God to help us to avoid temptation. And all of us need that. We need his help to stay out of a mess, to stay out of trouble. This prayer is not a prayer to be delivered from all testing and trials. That would be contradictory to the rest of Scripture. Jesus himself was led of the Spirit into the wilderness for 40 days, and the Bible says, and Satan tempted him. You need to understand that when you're serving God, and well, you can be right in the middle of the will of God, and yet you can find yourself in temptation. You can find yourself also in a place of testing. And you need to understand that when we are praying, lead us not into temptation. Help us avoid temptation. We're not asking God that we're never, ever going to face a test, or we're never going to face a trial, because I can assure you that if you serve God, there's going to be tests and trials. In fact, Jesus as an example being tempted. If you fast for 40 days, you're going to be tempted. I can assure you. I've never fasted 40 days. I have fasted a few days. And I remember when I was 19, on a Sunday night, I decided I was in prayer and I made a commitment that I was going to fast until Friday, when I was going to meet with my pastor to discuss me working and serving in youth ministry. And I wanted to be prayed up and really, you know, in tune with the Lord and wanting to receive direction. And so I decided I would fast that week. Well, I didn't realize for a day or two that that was Thanksgiving week. And Thursday, I was tempted. I also remember another time when I was fasting, and my mom was cooking a brisket in the oven, and the whole house smelled. My mouth was watering so bad, it was like I had a cup of water drinking. I mean, it's just... But I'm just telling you, if you fast, you'll be tempted. And that fasting's a good thing. So I'm saying to you that just because you're serving God and living for God doesn't mean you're never going to have any tests or trials or be tempted in any way. But this prayer is us asking God that he would order our steps, that he would guide us and help us to avoid the pitfalls, the landmines that the enemy has placed for us out there. You know, there's a lot of destruction in this world, and guess what? You don't have to fall into it. Well, that's good news. And I just want to say this. Listen, if we're being defeated, we need to pray this prayer. We need to ask God for guidance and protection. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Listen, those two phrases go together. You know, you could separate them and say, oh, it's talking about two different things, but it's really not. It's really talking about the same thing, that as he leads us and that he's helping us avoid temptation, he's delivering us from evil. He's keeping us away from evil. And I'm just telling you that this needs to be part of your daily prayer life, asking him to help you. See, we have an adversary, the devil, who's trying to destroy. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. How much we need our Father's help. We can just be walking along happy, and all of a sudden we get blindsided by an attack from the enemy. Now, people that don't know any better, you know, there's a lot of people that don't believe we have an adversary. There's a lot of people that don't believe in the devil, and then there's a whole lot of people that, you know, maybe there's a devil out there, but they don't realize that a lot of the terrible things that go on in this world and even in their own life are a result of their enemy, their adversary, the devil. What's really amazing is the number of Christians and even preachers that don't believe there's a devil. Open your eyes and look around you. But the enemy of our souls is always looking for an opportunity to get an advantage of us, always looking for a door to find a way to get a foothold, to bring heartache and trouble into our lives. And that's why we are asking God to help us to avoid those things, to help us to overcome those temptations, and that He'll deliver us from those things. I really believe this. If we look to Him, He'll lead us and guide us. Let me tell you the kind of path the Lord will lead you and guide you into. Not a path of temptation. No, He guides us in a path of righteousness. Listen to what David said, Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. We need to allow Him to lead. We pray and we say, Lord, don't lead us into temptation. Lord, help me to avoid temptation today. Help me to avoid those landmines that the enemy has placed out there. Help me, Lord. But then we can't miss this part of the prayer. It's lead me. You got to let God lead you. You pray the prayer, but you got to pray it sincerely. And if you're praying it sincerely, saying, Lord, lead me, then you got to let Him lead you, and you got to allow Him to show you the way throughout your day. It's really important that you pray. And I just want to deal with this real quickly. You know, a couple of Sundays ago, we talked about how the Holy Spirit leads and guides us, and how He, you know, we have the Holy Spirit working in our life to help us to overcome, to change our very nature so that we no longer do the works of the flesh, but we bear the fruit of the Spirit in our life. And I want you to understand that, yes, when you walk in the Spirit, you're going to overcome temptation. But get this, you're not walking in the Spirit if you're not praying. We're supposed to be praying without ceasing. And I just want you to understand that prayer is an absolute necessity if we want to overcome temptation and really have victory and not have that destruction and trouble in our life to deliver us from evil. Paths of righteousness. That's the way I want to be led. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. He guides us so that in such a way that we don't have to fear any evil. Wherever we go, whatever we're doing, you see, when we know that He's leading us and guiding us, we don't have to be afraid. He is well able to guide us through even the darkest places of life and keep us safe. I will fear no evil. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I'm just telling you, there's some real insight here when we talk about Him leading us in paths of righteousness. He doesn't lead us into sin. He doesn't lead us into evil. And even when we go through that valley, He guides us, He protects us, He delivers us out of it. Even in the presence of our enemies, He's taking care of us, providing for us, keeping us safe. Let's remember this. Satan is the one that does the tempting. That's why we call him the tempter. And if he thought he could tempt Jesus, I can assure you he's working overtime trying to tempt you. Some people, he doesn't have to work very hard. But you see, there, Jesus was on a mission. God had a plan and a purpose. since the garden. Before the foundations of the world, the Lamb of God. I'm telling you, all along, God had a plan and a purpose, a mission for Jesus, and Satan was trying to destroy that plan by tempting him. He does the same thing in our life. He wants to keep you from accomplishing what God wants you to do. He wants to cripple your destiny. He wants to cripple the purpose of God in your life through temptation. So it's so important that we get this, that we need God's help every day to overcome. Now, I mentioned this, and I want to talk about this for a minute. There's temptation to sin, to do wrong. There's also temptation in the Bible where it's talking about God testing us. And you need to remember this, that when God tests us, it's for the purpose of developing our character and faith so that we can walk closer with Him, be more like Him. And you know, when we're tempted, I'm talking about to sin, that's our old desires. That's us. In fact, James says, every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. But that's not God. No, when God tests us, it's for a higher purpose. God tested Abraham when he told him to offer Isaac, his promised son, as a sacrifice. Let me just read it in Hebrews 11, 17 through 19. It says, by faith, when he was tested, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called, concluding that God was able to raise him up from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. See, the Lord tested Abraham. Now, I want you to understand something. God knows the beginning and the end, the foreknowledge of God. He knew what Abraham would do. He didn't test him because he's like, well, I need to see what Abraham's going to do. I don't know what he'll do, so I'm going to test him and see. No, he tested him to prove him. He tested him to grow him. He tested him that his faith would rise to that level. And I'm just telling you that when we face tests and trials, you need to know this, that it's a trial. It's not to defeat you. Now I want to say one more time, don't think that you can avoid all tests and trials by praying, because I'm telling you, there are going to be tests and trials, and you'll just get discouraged and disillusioned if you think you can avoid all tests and trials. In this world, Jesus said, you're going to have trouble. Well, be of good cheer, because he's overcome, but you're still going to have trouble to overcome. And even when we are attacked by Satan, it becomes a trial of our faith, that we can stand in faith and trust God, and we'll come out in victory on the other side, because we're looking to God to deliver us from the evil one, to deliver us from evil. 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7 says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. You ever been grieved by various trials? Well, just hang in there. You'll get there. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. I want to tell you that besides us growing and our faith getting stronger and more mature, God is glorified and honored and praised when His people will stand in faith. But just remember this, there's a difference between being tempted to sin and tested. You got to know that. James 1, 2 through 4 used to be my least favorite scriptures. I'm changing that now. I'm starting to understand enough to where I don't despise these verses. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. When you're going through a hard time, when you're in a place of testing, the scripture says to count it joy. Not easy to do. But here's what you got to know, that the testing of your faith produces patience or perseverance. And let that patience or perseverance have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. See, you can count it all joy because you know that it's just a trying of your faith. It's not to defeat you. It's not to defeat you. That's good news. Whatever you're going through, listen, it's not to defeat you. It's a test. It's a trial. And if you'll stand in faith, listen, you'll not only come out on the other side, but patience is going to work in you, and you'll come out on the other side mature, complete. See, all that God wants you to be. Ready to accomplish what He wants you to accomplish. But you can't count it joy if you think you're going to be defeated. You won't count it joy, and you won't stand through the trial if you think that God has failed you or that God has let you down somehow. No, you got to know that this is the time that He will deliver you. So this prayer that we pray is simply saying, Lord, help me to avoid temptation today. Deliver me from evil. Deliver me from the plans of the enemy, the evil one. Deliver me from all that he would try to bring against me in my life. You need to remember this, that Satan is a master schemer. He's been at it a long, long time. And there have been many great men and women who he has managed to deceive and to get advantage of. I'm not saying that to scare you. I'm saying that to get you to realize that we need to be serious about this. There is a way. And that is that we're relying on our Heavenly Father. Ephesians 6, 10 and 11 says, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord, the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, there's another whole message there about the armor of God. But you need to be aware of this, that Satan, who comes to steal, kill, and destroy, listen, he wants to steal your blessings. He wants to kill your faith. He wants to destroy the plan and purpose of God in your life. And guess what? He knows your weakness. He comes to Jesus after he's been fasting 40 days and says, if you're the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. And in your life, I'm telling you, he knows where to try to get to you. We need God's help. We need the help of our Heavenly Father. Every single day, we need to ask for His help. Do not assume and take for granted. There's a reason that we're supposed to pray. And so you ask God for deliverance. You ask Him for guidance through the battle. Now, I mentioned earlier that all the modern translations conclude that as the evil one. And you just need to realize it. When it says deliver us from evil or the evil one, it's talking about the same thing. It's talking about the powers of darkness working against us. But you need to understand that Satan is always trying to set you up. He works against us, using our weaknesses, our desires, and he knows how to set us up for disaster. That's why we need to pray. We need the Lord's help. And I'm so glad that it's available if we'll just ask. Deliver us from evil. It's not just the temptation to sin. In fact, the word evil in the Bible many times is synonymous with the word calamity or destruction. And I really believe, you see, that evil, calamity, destruction, so often that comes in our life because we haven't let God lead us and guide us to help us avoid those pitfalls. Just to inspire your faith. I believe faith comes by hearing the word. Lord willing, I believe I'm going to be teaching on this chapter before long, but in Psalms 91, I just want to read it to you. We're talking about avoiding temptation. We're talking about having victory over destruction. Listen to what he says here. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. Now listen, I don't have all the answers on that, but I'm telling you, if you don't ever pray, you're not dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, all right? He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Wow, we have a refuge, a fortress. Deliver us from the evil one. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler, from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. See, there's a place of safety for us that the enemy can't get to us. But we've got to look to him. We've got to trust in him. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor the destruction that lays waste at noonday. See, we're not supposed to be afraid. And what I'm saying to you tonight is this is why you don't have to be afraid, because you're asking your Father to lead you and to protect you. Now, if you're not asking God to help you, you've got cause to be afraid, because if we don't ask for his help, then we're on our own. We're supposed to ask. Oh, 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you've made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you. Remember, we're praying, deliver us from evil. No evil shall befall you. Nor shall any plague come near your dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will deliver him. There it is again, deliver us from evil. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. I'm telling you, we have a heavenly Father who will take care of us if we'll just look to him and trust him. If we'll just allow him to lead us and guide us, I'm telling you, he'll take us safely through this life. But we need to remember, everybody on our own is vulnerable to temptation. No one is above falling. In our strength, we are sure to find ourselves in trouble. I want to remind you of the verse of Proverbs 16:18 that pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. It's amazing how pride is the sin, the door that opens the way to so many other sins. So much of the time, there was pride at the root of some other sin. And I'm just telling you that I'm going somewhere with this. Listen, when we think that we got it and we don't need to pray, we are in trouble. Because prayerlessness and thinking we don't need to pray is pride. because we do need our Father's help, and He wants us to depend upon Him, to use our faith and to trust Him, not to rely upon ourselves, as the world says, but instead to rely upon a loving God who cares about us. See, I think to not ask for the Lord's help is very arrogant. And when we don't bother to pray and ask for His guidance and deliverance, we're just headed for trouble. 1 Corinthians 10, 12, and 13 says this, "Let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall." See, when you think you got it, you're in trouble. And then he goes on, he says, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man, but God is faithful." See, Satan always wants to get people twisted up and make them think that God has let them down or failed them in some way. You got to remember that God is faithful and He will make a way. Listen, "who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you were able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it." See, He'll make a way out. He will deliver you if you'll keep trusting Him. But listen, prayer is the key. I don't know who said it first, but a praying man will stop sinning, and a sinning man will stop praying. If you'll start praying, I'm telling you, you start praying, you're asking God to help you to avoid temptation, to be delivered from evil, I'm telling you, God is able to give you the strength that you need. He's able to order your steps and keep you from the place of temptation. Jesus, before He was taken, He told the disciples, it's Luke 22, 40, He says, "Pray that you don't enter into temptation. Pray so that you won't enter into temptation." Wow. What if we just put that simple principle into our life every day before you get in the car and say, "Lord, you know how I lose my temper sometimes when I drive. I'm asking you to help me today. I need you to guide me, help me, deliver me from evil." It's amazing. You realize how the enemy works? He could destroy your finances or your health through a terrible car wreck because you got mad. I'm not going to let them in my lane. I'm preaching really good right now. And you need to pray. Instead, you need to pray, "Lord, help me to avoid temptation. Help me. Deliver me from the plan of the evil one," what he's trying to do. Maybe we ought to pray before we get on the internet. "Help me avoid temptation. Deliver me from evil." See, I'm just telling you, if we use this in our life, what a difference it'd make in us having victory over the enemy instead of him getting an advantage of us in so many areas, in so many ways. What situation will you face today, tomorrow, that you need God's guidance and protection to navigate through safely? Maybe you have a business deal. Maybe you're going to be around somebody of the opposite sex that's attractive to you. I'm just telling you, what if we use this principle every day in our life and we said, "Father, I need your help today to avoid temptation and to overcome evil, to be delivered from the plan of the enemy." Oh, how we need to use this in our life. And every day, pray and ask God for victory. But if there's some area that has been a weakness, then we need to ask Him. We need to pray, especially about that area. You know, to get away from all temptation, you just have to leave this world. But He knows how to safely guide us. He knows how to get us through. And He'll give us the strength that we need to overcome. Temptation is not fought just with human willpower. We always need God's help. And the best way to resist temptation is to be trusting God, relying upon Him for grace and for strength. You know, when the devil comes to tempt us, and people so often want to quote what James says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. And they fail to quote the first part of the verse, submit yourself to God, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. And it's when we humble ourselves before God in prayer that then we have power over all the power of the enemy. He has no chance when God is backing us up. 2 Peter 2:9, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations. He knows what He's doing. He knows how to protect us, how to keep us, how to deliver us from temptation and evil. You ever found yourself in the place of temptation? What if God could have kept you from being in that spot? Wrong place, wrong time. You ever stepped on one of those land mines of life when it just blew up on you? I'm telling you tonight, there's a better way. That daily we ask the Lord to lead us, to guide us, and to protect us safely through. I believe as part of His plan for us, part of the provision that God wants to make for our life. I believe that's why Jesus taught us to pray. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Stand with me and let's go to the Lord in prayer right now. God's plan for you is victory. His plan for you is to overcome. His plans for you are good. There's going to be battles and struggles along the way, but I'm telling you, He came that you might have abundant life. The enemy of your soul always wants to bring trouble, heartache, destruction. But God's plan for you is good. So every day we pray for His guidance and His protection. Father, I just thank You for Your word. I thank You, Lord, for reminding us tonight, Lord, of the importance of relying upon You every day in our life. And I pray, Father, that this part of the prayer would just become something that's very real and very normal for us in our life, to always be looking to You for guidance and direction, and Lord, believing You for deliverance, for protection. In Jesus' name, I thank You for it. Amen. Amen. Well, Lord bless you. I just encourage you as you have your prayer time to just be careful to go over those verses of Scripture. Let the Holy Spirit just lead you as you pray. Lord bless you.